Wasn't that great, the scripture they've got memorized? And just let it soak into their hearts and into ours. If you'll turn to the passage they quoted, Luke chapter 2, I want to center our thoughts on one verse and some of the implications of it for then and for now. This is the passage in Luke 2, 20 verses that tell about when God sent the second member of the Trinity, God the Son, to earth, where he not only continued being God, but he also became part of the human race, man. He came as one to redeem us from our sins, from the glory of heaven to a hovel down here on earth. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7. And she, that's Mary, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Heavenly Father, help us to see how your son was treated and is treated, and learn how we can better treat him. Please help us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus was born out where the animals were and laid in a manger for a bed. It was not that there was not an inn or a hotel motel in Bethlehem. There was. It was not that there were not rooms in the inn. They were full. And they wouldn't make room for Joseph and Mary and God the Son, the Messiah, the Savior. They wouldn't make room for him. Not even a corner or a closet. When I was a boy, a baby, my parents took me to visit two aunts and my grandmother. Lived in Falconer, New York. They had a house with three small bedrooms, bathroom, living room, and a kitchen. And we sort of put the crowd on. We got there, they had no crib for me. First time they tell me that I was there, they took a dresser drawer out and emptied it and put a blanket in it, and that became my bed. A little older, they let me sleep on the floor of the closet. Eventually, they had more room and less occupants, and I had better places to sleep. But they found a way to squeeze me in. Not so for the lovely Lord Jesus. Nobody said, we'll make room. We'll share our room. No, they didn't do it. I was a little older, and I was in the eastern part of the country. And I remember seeing, as I learned to read, something on the bottom of a sign of an old inn. George Washington slept here. Not sure he had time to sleep every place they said he did, but it made fine advertising. People wanted to sleep where George Washington did. In fact, it's my understanding that if you wait till a favorite of yours is in the White House, you may have to wait a long time. And you'll come up with $5,000, you can sleep in the Lincoln bedroom. That's sort of expensive for a night's sleep. But it's a privilege a lot of people pay for. Can you imagine an ancient inn today in Bethlehem saying, Jesus was born here? They'd never lack for people wanting to come. But there was no room in the inn for him. There was room for other people to be in those rooms. That's why they shut him out. I want you to think a little of this on no room for them in the inn. And some of the implications. Not only for the innkeeper and occupants that night, but also for us today. Have you any room for Jesus, the King of Glory? What kind of room do you have? Maybe a little closet for once in a while? What kind of room do you have for Jesus? This particular night. A night in which all the angels of God were ordered to go and worship him. Hebrews chapter 1. Is in the world, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And they had to put him in a manger. Because in the inn, there was no room. They had no plans for this kind of a situation. Years ago, I discovered that most hotels and motels in America have ties to the Masonic Lodge. And when they say that they are full, the truth is they have one room empty for a weary traveler of the lodge that needs a place of refuge. And so the truth is, when they say they're full, they've made plans to have one room available for a Masonic Lodge member to come in time of need. And I'm not speaking for or against that, because I'm talking about us. But have you made plans? This is tax season. Strangers were coming. Not all would have friends or relatives to stay with. They had to be there at a certain time for taxing. And babies don't worry about tax deadlines as far as they're coming. And you'd have thought maybe the innkeeper's wife would have said, "Hubby, you know there could be a lady in distress. Can't we have some kind of a plan to help out in such a situation?" But not so. It didn't happen. Didn't happen. No plans made for Jesus. Because business was so good, they'd have had to make plans. That's the way it is for us, isn't it? We have to make plans. Because we can get so busy. They weren't able to make an adjustment for space when Joseph and Mary showed up, obviously in great need. They had neither plans nor the ability to adjust to their circumstances. Their priorities were obviously out of line. They didn't understand the long-range implications of a present decision. They didn't realize what was actually happening. They just saw a mother in distress and had no concern. No room, no concern, no realization, no plans, no adjusting, no sacrifice on their part saying, "You can use our bedroom, we'll sit out in the living area. We'll make do for you this night." No, They were not about to sacrifice their own comfort. All the space was filled. No empty corners available to the King of Glory, because there was no room. Jesus had to be laid in a manger. This is not a new idea or problem. God had walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden after creation. And he told them what to do and what not to do. And the devil told them to do what God said not to do. And they decided they would rather eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Rather than God telling them what was right and wrong, they would take on the so-called ability to figure it out on their own. According to what they knew. I think a lot of people revisit that tree to decide what's right and wrong rather than let God decide it, and often decide against what God said. God forbid it. When it came down to it and they had a temptation, they didn't have any room for the Lord Jesus telling them what to do. They wanted to decide what to do. It was Cain and Abel. Abel was willing to do what Jesus wanted and pictured him, pictured Jesus. Cain wanted to do religion according to how he thought and was comfortable for him. And of course, God rejected Cain. He didn't have any room for picturing Jesus, just doing what made him feel good. There was Enoch. Now he had time and he walked with God and God took him. And he went on to heaven without dying. There was Noah. While everyone else was living lives of wickedness and violence and immorality and decadence, Noah had time and room for the Lord. And he found grace in the eyes of God. There was Abraham. And he was the friend of God. He had plenty of room in his life. Despite his large business, he had over 400 men had been born to those that worked for him, that he could take on a raid against several armies. But he had time for God. He had room in his life. Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael had no room. Isaac did. And Isaac was blessed. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau had no room and no time. But Jacob did. You get to going through the Old Testament, and all of a sudden, you can see, here's somebody has room for Jesus. And here's somebody has no room. They're full up. They have too much going. Moses could have been a Pharaoh, but he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God, because he cared more about Jesus and not about the wealth of Egypt. And so you have a face-off between Moses, who had lots of time and room for Jesus, and Pharaoh, who had no room. And you know how that story went. You can read on and find case after case. There's David, a king, a man after God's own heart, who knew about Jesus and pictured him and prophesied of him. There was Absalom, who lived for himself. There was Ahab and Jezebel, no time, no room. There was Elijah, who did have room and time and made time. You sort of go through those stories, the Old Testament. And then when you read, laid them in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You think of the innkeeper and the inhabitants. And you find there have always been people like that. They turned out being losers because they didn't have room for Jesus. What could have been never was because of choices. You come to the New Testament. Herod had no room for Jesus in his empire. He wanted every baby two and under killed to make sure he got Jesus dead, but he failed. Pilate, understanding the issue of Jesus, washed his hands of the matter and thought that would clear him, but it didn't. Paul had lots of room for Jesus after he was converted, none before. He went from no room to lots of room in his life and end. He talked to King Agrippa, who said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But almost is never enough." The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the priests, the scribes, the publicans, no room for Jesus. He started out in birth that way and lived his life that way. And died that way. It was a borrowed tomb, loaned, for him to be buried in, from which he rose the third day. And 40 days later went back up into heaven, having fully paid for our sins, and shed his blood, took it and deposited it in the tabernacle up on high at the altar, whereby you could be cleansed and I could be cleansed, and we can walk under him as our high priest. We get to be priests of God. Do you have any room? Or are you going to live without room? When he died on the cross, there were two thieves. They'd had no room, but one of them repented and made room, and the other held out. Only what you can do for me, but no room in you running my life. There was Demas the missionary, who turned his back, having loved this present world, left the Apostle Paul. It goes on and on till you come down through the ages in prophecy in the book of Revelation, where Jesus is standing at the door knocking. See if anybody let him in the church at Laodicea. They feel they have need of nothing. They're satisfied. They have all they think they need. They can get along without him, and they've shut them out. Shut them out. No room. What sad words. The rooms are full. There's no room. It may be that the rooms, or some at least, are filled with money and making money. Anyway, however, and I don't want the Lord telling me how to get my money. You remember, he laid hands on such in the temple and turned their tables over, the money changers, and took a cord and drove them out. They didn't like that, but they didn't have room for his teaching or running things. And some people, they have their rooms, and it's all about getting money. They ask somebody about a wealthy person died, how much did they leave? And the person said all. They left it all. You can't take it with you, but some people fill up the room. You could have Jesus to go with, but they'd rather have a room of money. Some, it's business. And that leaves no time or place for Jesus. When Jesus told about inviting people to a banquet, some of them said, I've bought a piece of ground, I have to go see it. You sort of scratch your head, didn't you see it before you paid for it? But any excuse will do. Business will be an excuse to not spend time with Jesus. Another said he had a pair of oxen and he had to go and see whether they really pulled or not. A person like that's likely to go out of business. But that's all right. Business and reason enough. Stay away from Jesus. Making money, activities of business, eat in. For some, it's a matter of family. One said, I have a wife, I can't come. He should have thought about that before he married, but now he does have a predicament, doesn't he? Jesus said that you love him supremely. If any love father or mother, husband, wife, or children more than me, he's not worthy of me. And so for many, family shuts the door to at least one room in their inn. Isn't it interesting? There was no room in the inn for Jesus to come in, so he got shut out of the inn. And how easy it is to shut Jesus out. Little here, little there, for this reason, for that reason. It could be that fun has filled the rooms and time. I'm busy. I have a full schedule. Let me let you in on a little piece of family history. My father was excellent at negotiating. He carried in his pocket a little pocket diary with room for writing various items down, several for each day of the year. Whenever the high school basketball schedule came out, he wrote in all the games. When the junior high schedule came out, he wrote in all the games. When the football team schedule came out, he wrote them in. And then if others he might be interested in, he wrote those in. Wasn't long before he had two things on some nights, which was a goal. And so you would ask him, might you be free for such and such? He said, I'll have to consult my diary, and he'd open it, say, I'm sorry, that night's already taken. Or he could say, I have several things, but let me write it in. I might be able to skip one of those two or whatever. Or I'll put you down for that and let the other things go, A, B, or C. And we as boys knew he was rating the importance of what he was being asked to do. But he always had a reason of sorts to not do something he really wasn't that interested in, but he didn't want to say, I don't care that much about what you have. Do you understand what I'm saying? He had it figured that he could decide how important it was to him and have alternatives. And I believe a lot of people are making decisions on how important Jesus is. And it's only if there's a blank spot and they might feel they'd had the energy. If you'd have come at a different time, an easier time, we might have had room for you. But you're not important enough for us to push anyone else around or to even tighten up on some things here. I hear. I understand. I grew up where that was a common practice. But it was not to be a common practice for Jesus. Church services took precedence. Those were no question. Even if we're traveling, we'd take longer for the trip, stop for church services. Sometimes most interesting services we ended up at. When it was time for church, we found a place to go. You say they always believe what you did? Most times not. But we weren't there to worship the church or their doctrine. We're there to worship the Lord. And if we could find a way to worship the Lord in a strange place, we were thankful. That was better than not doing anything. You see, he was the priority. The innkeeper didn't have right priorities. Many of the people in the scriptures didn't. But funds enough to push them aside. Or matters of the flesh. I've known people say, I can't follow the Lord because I have this habit or this type thing I do. And well, Jesus would not approve of it. And I'm not ready to give it up yet. Well, that's an honest way to lock a door, isn't it? At least you've been honest why you locked that door. No room. It could be a matter of self. For Jesus said, except a man deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. He's not coming in on your rules and regulations, but on his basis. Came to his own. And his own knew him not, no room. Could be an issue of pride, a matter of ease and comfort. There are all kinds of ways to fill up the rooms and leave Jesus out. It may be intentional and it may not be intentional. The question is, are you going to intentionally make room for Jesus? Are you going to declare yourself, I will do all that I can to have room for Jesus and lots of room? Years ago, there was a young man who came out of deep poverty. And with assistance became a medical doctor, then a surgeon, and then one of the top in a famous hospital. He married a fine lady. They had a large mansion house. And one day he asked his wife, said, there was a woman that helped me, encouraged me as a boy. Took in laundry to make it, but tried to help me some in getting through school. And she's getting old. And we have that little apartment up on the top floor. And she meant a lot to me when I was a boy. You might, she said, if that lady meant that much to you as a boy, of course it doesn't bother me. Bring her. We'll care for her. We'll see she's fed and care whatever she needs. So she was brought and put there. He would go up from time to time and sit and chat with her. And the wife became curious. And she slipped up there one time. and overheard the discussion. And when she got her husband alone, she said, "You told me that woman helped you, but you didn't tell me that was your mother." He said, "My mother had a little education, grew up in poverty, and didn't want me to tell you about her because she's ashamed. And she can't fit into the society we live in." And the wife said, "We will get her clothes. We will help her. Move her down to the finest guest room. She will eat at the table with us. And we will gladly introduce her to our friends. She is your mother." Some people would tuck Jesus away in a corner, occasionally visiting, running to him when they have a prayer request, but don't have him mixing with their friends. Sort of the unknown, unseen guest. The innkeeper could have said, "I have a storeroom you could use." Shame on him. Wouldn't give up his own bedroom. How important is Jesus to you? How much room have you made for Jesus? Do you honor him with the finest of your life, your time, your energy, and introduce him to your friends? Or do you say he can take what he can get with the animals? Just put him in a manger. No room here for you, Joseph, for you, Mary, or for the little baby Jesus. You say, the keeper didn't know what he was turning down. You don't know what you're turning down either. You might see a little bit about him, but once you get to know him and have him around, you'll find out a whole lot more about him. Learn about Jesus. Grow about Jesus. More about Jesus. We sing it, but do we mean it? No room. A little room. Or lots of room. We can criticize the innkeeper and probably ought to. But he's a reflection of most of humanity. But I hope he doesn't reflect us. What place, priority, sacrifice, adjustment, changes will you make room for Jesus, the King of Glory, who came to deliver you from your sins? Will you have him? Or just a full life without him? Heavenly Father, please take this phrase of Scripture and the Scriptures throughout and the pictures you've given us. Help us see what kind of room we've made for your Son, Jesus. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. No room. He is in the world, and the world knew him not. No room. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. No room. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. room or no room, I think I've delivered my heart. I'm going to ask Brother Harold to come. We'll sing the old hymn, "Have You Any Room for Jesus?" What number?